Well, good morning. Very happy Easter, and it's great to see you. And I want to say thank you to Rachel and to Colin and the All Age team for what they've done today for putting together our service as we celebrate as a whole church family Easter. And thank you to all those who've been involved this week in the different events, the Footprints service on Monday, the Easter tea on Wednesday, our Maundy Thursday and Good Friday services and events. I think perhaps the highlight for me was yesterday morning when we were doing our outreach, giving away hot cross buns and coffee, and Debbie Breakspear and myself were taking refuge in some of the shops, and we ended up in the Bookmakers. I have to admit, it's the first time I've been in the Bookmakers in Blackheath, and I can't see anyone here from the Bookmakers this morning, but there was someone in there who didn't want to see me. I won't name names. It's great to be able to celebrate Easter, and I hope the children will occupy just for 5 or 10 minutes while we take some time to consider this reading that we've had from Luke's Gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good news of Easter Day. We pray that you would help us to be encouraged and to be filled with that good news as we think about it here in this church today. Amen. Well, the good news of Easter causes us to do some serious revision in our thinking, some serious questioning. The message of the empty tomb, when you stop and think about it, is in fact quite seriously mind-blowing. In a world that we live in, of reason, of pluralism, and of tolerance, the empty tomb presents us with a stark reality and some hard choices to make. Firstly, the Easter message changes our thinking about death, and we've already sung a little bit about that. When the women went to the empty tomb, they expected to find the body of Jesus. They went in order to anoint Jesus' body with oils and fragrances. When they got there, it was empty. They presumed that death was the end, but it wasn't. So often in our culture, we make that assumption that death is the end of the story for each one of us. There's that popular poem by W.H. Auden, which speaks about the finality of death. Stop all the clocks. Cut off the telephone, prevent the dog from barking with a juicy bone, silence the piano, and with muffled drum, bring out the coffin and let the mourners come. It's a sad poem, and it speaks of the end, the finality of death. And because we see death as the end, we often fear death. We try to fight it. We resist it in all sorts of ways. We try to limit the damage of death by insurance policies and the like. But if there is one thing we can talk about confidently today on Easter morning, it's about death, because the empty tomb reminds us that death was not the end. The resurrection was not a state of mind in the early disciples. It was an event in history. There are many witnesses to the empty tomb. People wrote about it, people talked about it, and in the end, lives were changed because of it. This wasn't simply a resuscitation. As we've gone through the gospel, we heard about the raising of the widow's son. Don't know if anyone was here when we read that story in Luke's gospel. There's also the story of Lazarus coming back to life. These were kind of resuscitations that Jesus performed. But what we have in the empty tomb is not a resuscitation, but a resurrection, a transformation of a life. There is a quality and uniqueness about this experience that once and for all empowers us and enables us to believe that death isn't the end of the story. The disciple and the apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 puts it like this: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? As we've journeyed through Holy Week this Easter, we've knelt and sat at the cross. We've been able to look at death in the face. And we've come through that experience to the joy of Easter morning. The reality of death is sad, it's gutting, it's terrifying for many of us, I'm sure. But the good news of Easter is that we can look at death and still experience joy, hope, confidence that death is not the end. Secondly, Easter changes our thinking about Jesus. If you read on in Luke's Gospel in chapter 24, you'll find some of Jesus' friends walking along the Emmaus Road. And when they start talking, they talk about Jesus being a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. Then this stranger comes to them and they realize that it's Jesus himself. And by the end of their journey, they declare, "It is true, the Lord has risen. He is not here." Good, you're still awake, that's good. It's important for us to remember who Jesus was. He wasn't simply a good man, a good teacher, a prophet, or a religious guru. But he was Lord of life, and he revealed his lordship even over death. And that's a tough message for us to talk about, isn't it, in the world today? I've had two conversations recently with people where they were asking me about Jesus and what I believed as a Christian. One was with a dentist. I don't know if you've ever tried to share your faith when you're sat in a dentist chair. You do feel rather vulnerable, especially when they're talking about taking your teeth out. The other one was actually, again, it was yesterday morning. I was having my hair cut and the barber was just changing the blade on the razor. And he tells me that he's a Muslim. And he starts asking me what I thought about the Archbishop of Canterbury's comments a few weeks ago. And we had this conversation about religions. And I was trying to agree with a lot of what he was saying, how, you know, people of other faiths need to be tolerant. We need to relate together. We need to share a lot of common values and morals. But when you look at the person of Jesus, you have to admit, as a Christian, there's something unique that we have to proclaim. Jesus was the one who conquered death. Jesus was the one who took the weight of sin, the sin of the whole world, on his shoulders on the cross. Jesus is unique, and he offers forgiveness, hope, salvation, eternal life to those who believe in him. And we need to be confident as Christians to proclaim that message. Jesus is not just another religious leader. He is Lord. The missionary Hudson Taylor put it like this: if Jesus Christ is Lord, he has to be Lord of all. Otherwise, he's not Lord at all. That's the impact that the truth about Jesus has in our lives. He's Lord. He has a claim on us. He has a demand. Because he rose from the dead, he has something to say to each one of us. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to receive the gift of life. He's not just an optional extra, but he is to be saviour, master, and king. When we look at the first disciples, they were confused about who Jesus was. And yet, as they encountered the risen Lord, their understanding changed, their faith grew, and their ability to follow the teaching of Christ started to kick in and empower their lives. And many of them were prepared to lay down their own lives for this great truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You may be in church this morning, not too sure if you really can believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And I'm sure that's not an unfamiliar place for many of us. But the challenge is to consider, will we grow in our thinking this year, this Easter? Will we open our minds to the truth of what the Bible teaches about who Jesus really was? If you want to find out more, there is a booklet. It's called Why Jesus, and it talks about who Jesus was and what Jesus had to say about himself. Do come and take one of these from me afterwards. I'd love to chat with you and share it with you. There are also some on the reception desk as you leave the church. Come and join us on an Alpha course or take part in a group where we talk together and try and help each other understand who Jesus really is. So Easter changes our thinking about death. It can change our thinking about Jesus. And it can change our thinking about the future. We're not supposed to be the same after Easter Day. We're supposed to be transformed, just like those women, just like those disciples on Easter Day. We've been using a verse to pray together as we've gone through this week. It's been on your bulletin. It's on the front of your bulletin if you want to have a look at it. It's the words that St. Paul wrote in a book of Philippians. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and a fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. We're supposed to pursue a knowledge of Christ. And as we pursue that knowledge, we are transformed and somehow we become like Christ ourselves. The future is supposed to be different, and it can be different because of what happened at Easter. In another letter of St. Paul, in Ephesians, he writes about God's power like this. He says, God's incomparably great power is for those who believe. The power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Paul expects Christians to experience and to know the resurrection power of God in their life. The power that we're talking about in the resurrection wasn't just for Easter morning in the empty tomb. It's for us each day of our life. Last week when we met together in church, there was a reading from the letter called Revelation in the Bible, which was a challenge to us when we feel we're lukewarm in our faith. Well, on Easter morning, we can stop being lukewarm and we can receive the power of the resurrection. Those disciples says their hearts burned within them when they met with Jesus. There was something on fire, something tangible going on the inside. Easter can change us. I was brought up in a home where my grandmother lived with us, and she sold her house to come and live with us when I was about 10, 11 years old. And I think she made quite a nice profit on the sale of her house, and she moved into our house and we had a granny flat built on the side of it. And she put the capital from the house into an account. And sadly, it was one of those kind of high-risk accounts. And when the stocks market failed, this was quite a few years ago now, her capital depreciated quite a lot. She used to live off the interest, but then she had to start eating into the capital, and it was getting smaller and smaller as the cost of living rose, and she lived on and on year after year. And she would often talk about the sadness and the mistake she made with her capital investment, and the rising cost of living. If you're older in years, perhaps you can relate to that feeling. Well, the resurrection, in a sense, is like a spiritual capital for us to live on, and to be fed by, and to be nourished by, and to be empowered by. And this is a spiritual capital that won't perish, spoil, or fade. It's lasting and permanent. And the joy of Easter morning isn't just for Easter Day. It's for every day of our lives. We can receive the power of God to empower us to live lives which are good, to live lives which know self-control, which know perseverance, which know love and experience kindness. This is a spiritual energy and power from God, which is available to each one of us, not just today, but every day of our lives. The writer C.S. Lewis wrote about Christ's resurrection using these words. He said, "He is the first fruits, the pioneer of life. He has forced open a door that has been locked since the death of the first man. He has met, fought, and beaten the king of death. Everything is different because he has done so. This is the beginning of the new creation. A new chapter in cosmic history has begun." Well, as we consider Easter today, will you let the news of the resurrection this year begin a new chapter in your own life? Will you be fed by and nourished by the knowledge of the resurrection each day as you go to work, as you live your life in your family, week in, week out? Will you receive the power of Christ to help you live your life? Will you let the good news of the resurrection take away any fear of death and transform your thinking about death? And will you let the good news of the resurrection inform and transform your thinking about Jesus? Let's have a moment to pray as we consider those things. Lord, we do thank you for the good news of Easter. Would you help us to be transformed and to be empowered by the knowledge of the resurrection? Amen. We're going to say together an affirmation of faith as a way of responding to the message that we've just been talking about. Would you like to stand? And the words are on your screen. Let us declare our faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance to the scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received and this we believe. Amen.
Okay, I know you've been really busy colouring, and some of you have made lovely paper aeroplanes, you know who you are, but we need all of those things back up here, so if the children can bring the sheets back up here, Colin's going to try and do something with them, and then Mary wants you to stay here because she needs some help with the first song. So we're going to stand and sing, but if you guys with your colouring can come and bring them up here, we're going to try and make some sense of them.
Yes, I really would like some help. You've been sitting down really well, so I'm sure you've got lots of energy, because I needed to jump, and I would rather that the children did the jumping. But, hey, can you come and help me sing? Help me sing, help me sing. This is a song called God's Not Dead. Are you here to help? Come on in. Come and help me. That's it, brilliant. Can you jump? Okay, when we sing God's Not Dead, no, and when we sing no, I'd like you to jump. Can you do that? So if I go, God's not dead, no, he is alive. Okay, now, has anyone brought their hands? Who's got hands? What can you make? How can you make a noise with your hands? How can you make a noise? Clap, 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 yep. Can you make a noise with your feet? Okay. What noise did your heart make? Boom, 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 like that, okay. And then we say we can feel Jesus in our soul. Okay, so we can't really see that, so we're just going to go, whee! Fantastic. Okay, can someone give me an E or an E chord? Okay, so it goes like this. God's not dead. No, he is alive. God's not dead. No, he is alive. God's not dead. No, he is alive. He is alive in me. Feel him in your hands, clap, clap. Feel him in your feet, clap, clap. Feel him in your heart, boom, boom. Feel him in your soul, wee! He is alive in me. Right, I think we'll have to do it a bit faster. Do you want to move along a bit? Got more children than I know what to do with here. Come along then. Okay, let's try it. A little bit faster.
God's not dead, no, he is alive. God's not dead, no, he is alive. God's not dead, no, he is alive. He is alive in me. Feel him in my hands, feel him in my feet, feel him in my heart, boom, boom. Feel him in your soul.
The adults help really as well, don't we? They're all sitting down, being very good sitting down, but I think we should get the adults to stand up and sing. We can sing it quietly this time, so stand up. Okay. Ready? Go.
God's not dead. No. He is alive. God's not dead. No. He is alive. God's not dead. No. He is alive. He is alive in me. Feel him in my hands, feel him in my feet, feel him in my heart, feel him in my soul. Whee! He is alive in me.
Right, do it a bit faster this time, ready?
God's not dead.
No!
He is alive. God's not dead.
No!
He is alive.